of people that had to try to prepare for him because he had unique skills.
Just go get the quarterback. I felt sorry for some of those poor tackles that came in and had to go against him because they didn't realize what they were getting themselves into.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Lights out.
Sacking the cornerback is just like you devastate a city, or you cream a multitude of people. I mean, it's just like you put all the offensive players in one bag, and I just take a baseball bat and beat on the bag. So each time he came over there, I tried to tear his damn head off.
Let's play some football. Let's play some football.
The pressure is on. This is Off the Edge on Tide 100.9.
Focus on what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. Think about that. Don't think about how you feel, how tired you are, how hot it is. You got to push yourself on the field when you're playing football.
It's my honor to present the National Championship Trophy to Coach Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide.
To me, this is the ultimate team. All these guys bought into everything they needed to do to be the best players that they could be. There's more togetherness on this team than almost any team that we've ever had. And they had to overcome and persevere so much adversity through this season, and they've done it magnificently. And I'm so proud of this group for what they've been able to accomplish in going undefeated and winning the national championship.
Streaming live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and the Tide 100.9 app. Here is your host of Off the Edge, Jacob Harrison.
Hello there. Good morning. Welcome in to Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Jacob Harrison here hanging out with you, the digital managing editor of Town Square Media Tuscaloosa. Across the glass, we got Mason Woods. We got Timothy Bowens. We're going to have a good time today. We're going to get to the roots of the show, and we're going to start analyzing things a little bit more around here. We're 13 weeks away from the start of the 2022 season, when the Alabama Crimson Tide kicks off against none other than the mighty Utah State Aggies. All right, I'm overselling it a bit. But with that time, what I'm going to do for the next 13 weeks, and this is a hell of a commitment here, by the way, 13-week commitment to definitely break down three things a week. Woohoo! I'm going to have fun with that. We'll break down a position group for the Crimson Tide. We'll break down an opposing SEC team, whether they're on the schedule or not. And we'll break down a particular player for the Crimson Tide. We'll stick more to unknown commodities or players that we anticipate are going to be contributing a tad bit more than in years past, or maybe, you know, in the case of a Henry To'oto, somebody that we anticipate is going to take a massive leap and become something even more special in that space. So we'll do that for the next 13 weeks. So where we start with that is, of course, at the quarterback position with the position-by-position breakdown. So today, if you want to go along with me here, Tide109.com, previewing the 2022 Crimson Tide quarterbacks. It's there at the top of the page. So if you want to read it on your own time or follow along with me here, I'm not reading it. This isn't kindergarten. I'm expanding upon the ideas placed in the article, of course. But that's where we're going to start today. And here's the impressive part about the Alabama Crimson Tide quarterbacks. Is I think you could look around the country and even as a Crimson Tide fan or as an analyst or as just a radio guy in general, a journalist or whatever, just unbiased view look around the country and find a quarterback room that is as stacked as Alabama's. I think because the first place you probably have to look is Ohio State. And you could, if you're from Ohio State, you're probably going to make that argument, right? Oh, you don't understand. Like, we've got the, we got X4 star and X5 star and da 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 da. And little do you know that CJ Stroud is actually better than Bryce Young and, you know, so on and so forth. Like, Ohio State will have its argument. I think USC tries to think it can have that kind of argument, especially now with Caleb Williams. But we've seen over the years, all of their five-star quarterbacks get hurt and go somewhere else. So Caleb Williams is kind of the guy that they're hoping breaks that trend. But again, he's coming from somewhere else as well. Lincoln Riley may be able to help in that realm as well. But you look around the country, especially the SEC. In the SEC, there is no rival to what the Alabama Crimson Tide has just in its quarterback room alone. And for that, you should have supreme confidence, right? Because take a look at last year where, sure, there was some unknown variables to what Bryce Young was going to be. Now, myself, Kendall Hollowell, a handful of people on this station tried to tell you, no, really, he's going to win the Heisman. He is unstoppable. He is incredible. He is the most special thing you've ever seen put on a crimson uniform. And we're pretty close to being right in that aspect because he played behind arguably the worst offensive line that has ever played under Nick Saban. And all of his targets went down. You know, by season's end, he had one running back and no receivers, and his, one of his tight ends practically quit on him. So he's out there doing it by himself. And nonetheless, despite that final drive where, yeah, he threw the last pick six there. I saw Georgia fans call it the chip six. Groan. Massive, massive groan. I don't like that. We already got the kick six. I don't want to deal with this chip six thing. No, thank you. No, thank you. But despite there you go. Despite all of it, when that drive started, J-Mo, no John Mechie. Might as well not have Jaleel Billingsley. No running backs. Offensive line's been playing terribly the whole game. I thought Bryce Young's about to do this, right? Because he did the same damn thing against Auburn, right? Now, Grant, he had John Mechie in that game. Didn't have J-Mo. But he did have John Mechie in that game, and he did it, right? The whole game couldn't do anything. 90 yards later, touchdown, we're going to overtime, we win the game. That's special, right? Like, Tua was special. I love Tua. We'll talk about Tua later in the show. Love Tua. Love Mac Jones. Mac Jones was special. Jones never had to do anything like that, right? And there's something to be said about, you know, you can talk about how special this quarterback room is. You'll be hard-pressed to compare any quarterback room ever for the rest of time to what the Alabama Crimson Tide had in 2017 or 2018 when Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, and Mac Jones are all on the same team. Now, we didn't know Mac Jones was going to be something that special, but that's a lot to take in, right? And even Tua Tagovailoa being on the back end of that and Paul Tyson, should those two have some semblance of success, I mean, just the fact that that was the makeup of the room, right? Well, you head into this season, full confidence, right? Interesting thing that I said prior to the 2019 season was if Mac Jones was the starter, it was the 2019 season. Because we were concerned about Tua's injury history. If Mac Jones was the starter the entire season, I think that team could have won a national championship because of the talent around him and the way that he was going to run the offense, right? The simplicity of the offense certainly does help. I feel less like that this year, though I would say if, for whatever reason, if Jalen Milroe had to be the guy, I'd feel pretty confident, and I think the rest of the fan base would too, much more confident than we would have been in Mac Jones in that situation. So, and then you peer into the future with a guy like Ty Simpson, you feel confident in just the future landscape of this team. The quarterback room, it's nearly flawless. In the anticipation of tacking on next year with either an Arch Manning or an Eli Holstein or whoever comes down the pipeline, you feel really, really good about it. But breaking down – whoops, breaking down each guy individually. So I did the one thing that I don't think many people are doing, and I think Nick Saban would appreciate this if somebody wants to send this link to Nick Saban. Actually talked about something that, Bryce Young might need to improve upon in 2022 to continue his reign of success, to be in the conversation for the Heisman Trophy again, to potentially hoist a national championship alongside his individual accolades, and be the first quarterback selected in the NFL draft next season instead of all those things happening to C.J. Stroud instead. Because that's where I told you a couple days ago when we looked at Todd McShay's way too early mock draft for next year, where C.J. Stroud is the guy at the top. That's going to be the narrative all throughout the summer. And it's going to be the narrative throughout much of the fall as well when C.J. Stroud comes out and Ohio State does what it tends to do early in the season and drops 60 points on everybody, right? Alabama's going to do the same thing, but they're going to actually look at Alabama's opponents and say, ah, you did it against Utah State and Vanderbilt. What have you really done? You know, whereas, you know, Ohio State will do it to Buffalo and they'll act like it's the greatest thing in the world. So just be prepared for that, right? A lot of the nation is going to create this perception that C.J. Stroud is significantly better than Bryce Young instead of them being head and shoulders and one having strengths that the other doesn't have and vice versa, right? Because what both of them have is great accuracy. I would give Bryce Young a little bit of a nudge in that. What both of them have is superior arm strength. I would give C.J. Stroud a bit of a bump in that. Both of them made sophomoric mistakes last year with their interceptions, mistakes that, you know, we didn't see Tua Tagovailoa make. And both of them have athleticism, but they don't rely on it to be effective. Well, I say that. What C.J. Stroud definitely has over Bryce Young is a competent offensive line. Now, this year, maybe it'll be a thing that changes. I don't think the spring is completely indicative of what we're going to get next season because, like I said, Alabama doesn't have to play Alabama's pass rush. But we're not going to go from mediocre to elite overnight. We might go from mediocre to good, maybe even mediocre to great. We do have to temper those expectations just a tad. But with that thought in mind, what Bryce Young did so well throughout the season last year was buy time. So to kind of take that step back and say, well, Bryce, I need you to not do that all the time. Because what was all over his Heisman reels, right? Those two shovel passes, one in the Florida game and the other to Christian Leary that went for a touchdown, right? Like against Arkansas, like. Those are the Heisman moments, right? Some of the other Heisman moments. His first touchdown pass was extending the play and getting the ball out to John Metchie over the middle. How about we look at some of those interceptions, right? Now, I've laughed a lot about the one against Southern Miss where he was too accurate. J-Mo drops the ball, and it was in double coverage, so Southern Miss Golden Eagle came away with the ball. But instead of joking about that one, why don't we look at the one against Auburn? Where he is, again, he gets instant pressure, but instead of dumping the ball down to Jahlil Billingsley, yeah, I know, it. You know, he probably wasn't going to catch it, Jacob. I get that. You still have to make the right decision, and the right decision is to hit the underneath route because of the pressure, where the pressure was coming from, right? The pressure was coming off the left side. Your crosser is going to the left. You drop that ball in over the left side to that crossing route. Instead, Bryce kind of holds onto the ball. He doesn't scramble a whole lot, but holds onto the ball, forces the ball over the middle, overshoots John Metchie, and it's an interception. Those are plays that I know that Bryce knows he's not supposed to make, right? And that's part of improving. Because even when you are the returning Heisman Trophy winner, there's a reason we haven't seen a back-to-back winner in a long, long time. It's because even Heisman Trophy winners aren't perfect, right? Marcus Mariota wasn't perfect, got to the NFL, kind of flamed out, right? There's plenty of guys. There's the John Metchie, excuse me, not John Metchie. Wow, that was insulting. Johnny Manziel. There's Jameis Winston, right? you can go down the list of guys that they weren't perfect just because they won the Heisman Trophy. And Bryce Young is not a perfect quarterback. He's pretty damn close, but there is that one thing that he needs to work on. And the example that I provide in the article is look at the way that this offense, the same offense, was run by Tua Tagovailoa and Mac Jones. Now, they ran way more RPOs than Alabama did last year. It's a fact. There's a reason they were slightly unfair to a point. They both had way superior talent. But those guys did not throw a lot of interceptions, and the reason why is because they made the correct read on time. Even you can look at Mac Jones and you say, oh, yeah, he had the best offensive line in the country. It's not like he was standing in the pocket making decisions 90% of the time. Did he extend plays every once in a while? Yes. Did he come off his first, second, third read? Yes. Did he have the opportunity to stand still when necessary? Of course. Did Tua have a slight problem with holding onto the ball a little bit too long? Yes, but that was after the 2018 season. He turned his strength into a weakness in the 2019 season where he started to try to force things to happen, right? And that's when he got hurt. But look at 2018 Tua, look at 2020 Mac Jones, and the way that they ran the offense with supreme efficiency, right? Every time those guys took the field, you're like, oh, it's a touchdown. And sometimes it was that way with Bryce Young, but it wasn't always the case, right? Mac Jones and Tua Tagovailoa, they led touchdown drives. Bryce Young sometimes just leads scoring drives. And sure, some of that has to do with the talent around him. But if you're making those decisions quickly, efficiently, and with the accuracy that he contains, with the velocity on his passes that he has, the intelligence with which Bryce Young does play the game, then you do have a better quarterback. So, yes, it's a criticism for the sake of criticism. It's criticism for the sake of saying, hey, you know that really great player that you love, that you bought his jersey, that you endorse his NILs, and he won all the individual awards, and he came up just short in a national championship, and he's projected to be the first quarterback selected in the NFL draft a year from now. Yeah, he's not perfect. That's going to exist, right? As we get closer to the NFL draft, you're going to hear people talk about these similar things just to poke holes in him because they've talked nothing but good things about him for a long time. So just kind of keep that in mind. Now, overall, you look at the entire product and you're not just being critical for the sake of it, then you'll step back and you'll see probably the most accurate quarterback in college football today. Now, not quite as accurate as Mac Jones, but again, Mac had better talent. Look around and you'll see a quarterback that throws a better deep ball than most quarterbacks in college football. Again, he had J-Mo last year. That makes it slightly easier. But again, we're going to talk about Tua. At least J-Mo wasn't having to come back for the ball, right? He caught J-Mo in stride a lot, and it led to a lot of touchdowns. So, not to mention, the thing that I do love about him is the fact that he can extend plays. You look at all three of these guys in the quarterback room, they can all extend plays. They're all very similar players. They're all new age quarterbacks. They're all athletes. And while Bryce, yes, is always looking for a way to throw the ball rather than run, it helps keep him out of trouble. Because one thing that we can say with supreme confidence is that if Mac Jones was the starting quarterback last season, he would have had tremendous problems. Tremendous problems, because he wouldn't have been able to escape the way that Bryce Young did. Did it get him in trouble? Yes. Did it also lead to some of his Heisman moments? Of course it did. So the ability to scramble and still make good decisions on the backside of that, second to none. Because most scrambling quarterbacks are just going to tuck it and run. And that's not the way that this is meant to be done anymore, right? We love Michael Vick, but we don't want quarterbacks that are like Michael Vick. We want them to have evolved the way that Lamar Jackson has, the way that other scrambling quarterbacks have, where they scramble to make a play down the field with their arm. And that's what Bryce Young does better than almost anybody else in college football. So you take the sum of the parts, and you're seeing a damn near perfect quarterback. But if you're really trying to poke holes in it and say, okay, what's the one thing that Bryce needs to work on? Well, it's the fact that he threw more interceptions than Tua and Mac did in their starting seasons. So there is something there for him to improve upon. Moving on, I'm not going to get into Ty Simpson. If you want to read about Ty, he's on the website there. But with Jalen Milroe, again, feel supremely confident that in the worst case scenario, or if he just comes out for a couple of plays, you feel absolutely confident that Jalen can lead this team and avoid that pass rush even better than Bryce Young can, because he's one of the best athletes on the team, period.
If Jalen Milroe was at another school playing, you know, starting quarterback, do you think he's a Heisman, like, up
there
Heisman
yeah.
this year easily?
Depends on where he is. You know, like he's got to be in the SEC or the Big Ten or whatever, you know.
I think he could easily go to a lot of schools in either of those conferences and probably start.
Oh, yeah. No, I bet it's tough. I mean, you would say, well, I bet if you throw him on Missouri, like, they would love to have him. But, you know, Missouri has really, really struggled. So I think if you put him in Kentucky, like, that would be very dangerous. Yeah.
Joe in here is saying Auburn in my ear.
Auburn, really, he would be absolutely – cool. He would annihilate us. He would annihilate us. He absolutely would. I can't think of a worse situation for Alabama fans. But he would kill us. Jalen Milroe would be the bane of our existence if he were in Auburn. And a lot of other places I look where they have starting quarterbacks. But think about it. What if he were at Georgia? Be the same thing. They would be deadly with Jalen Milroe. And, you know, as terrifying as all that sounds, is that not a wonderful thing that he's our backup quarterback? He's not going anywhere. I think he understands that he's a starting quarterback in 2023. If he continues to put in the work that he has, and I've seen significant improvement, and we haven't even seen that much out of him, right? We've just seen a couple of clips on social media and one A-Day game, right? And last year when he came in, it was strictly to run the ball and run out what was left of the clock, right? He is the backup quarterback. Ty Simpson is not pushing him for that. And the heir apparent to be the starting quarterback next year, regardless of who signs, whether it's Arch Manning or Eli Holstein or whoever. Like, Ty Simpson's not taking that job from him. I don't think so. So if I'm Jalen Milroe, I am wafting in confidence right now and understanding where I exist on this timeline and where I exist in the framework of Alabama's plans and knowing. And I think Alabama would, you know, Nick Saban would understand what we were just talking about. If Milroe were anywhere else, he'd be dangerous. Probably would be a Heisman candidate. So, but you look at the improvements he's made in his throwing motion. It has much more snap. It's less loopy. It's much more under control. He appeared to be relatively accurate despite some pressure at the A-Day game. Good downfield arc. Everything you can possibly ask for. And he can run around the yard and make defenses look silly. He would be the most athletic quarterback in the country if he were a starter. So take all of that in, man, and just enjoy the fact that this is what Alabama's got right now. This is what Alabama's got right now. So coming down the pipeline in the next day or two, Georgia will be the first team that I'm looking at. They're not on the schedule officially. Right, but you anticipate you're going to see them in Atlanta at least, maybe in the CFP as well. So we'll take a look at Georgia in the next day or two, and that's what'll be coming down the pipeline. Like I said, next 13 weeks, position by position for the Crimson Tide, and also one SEC program, and then a player each week as well for the Crimson Tide. So be on the lookout for that stuff. It'll be at Tide 109, and of course I will talk about it on the show as well when we don't have guests, because I'm going to ramble on and on and on about it. When we come back, we got Tua to talk about and plenty more here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Very warm this afternoon, partly to mostly sunny, the high 89. Some clouds around tonight, the chance of a few isolated showers, our low at 64. Tomorrow, the chance of isolated showers early in the day, otherwise partially sunny with a high at 86. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
We aren't going anywhere. Off the Edge is available in the podcast center on Tide100.9.com.
Greetings to an odd brethren. Obviously, a throw has surfaced online that appears less than flattering for Tua. It is important that we address this head-on and be blunt about it. That throw was indeed 87.3 air yards. We have insider knowledge that confirms this. Anyone that says otherwise is a hater. With that said, we would like to call out the Miami Dolphins social team and also the cameraman. They clearly made a zoomed-in video on purpose to cause chaos and divide in the Dolphins fan base. We're not saying they should be arrested, but it may be a good start. Everyone needs to understand that Tua got his torque back this offseason, as stated in his trainer's long note about Tua. Trust in Tua and believe. Everyone, even people inside the Dolphins building, will stop at nothing to tear this great man down. But like the old saying goes, the devil works hard, but Tua Tagovailoa works harder. Also, to all the fake Dolphins fans talking bad about Tua right now, we are watching. Tread wisely. We are Tua-not. Expect us.
Back here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. I'm sure we all saw the video that the Miami Dolphins still have up, by the way. No response, no nothing. Tua Tagovailoa launching a pass to Tyreek Hill. And he underthrew Tyreek by quite a bit. Now, listen, Tua is still building a repertoire with his new receiver, but he underthrew him by a bit. And then whoever made the video at Miami Dolphins, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's on Twitter. It's on all of the Dolphins social media at Miami Dolphins. Tua throwing this deep ball to Tyreek Hill, underthrows him by quite a bit, but whoever made this video slowed down at the worst possible moments, including right before the pass, as the ball is in the air and starting to lose its spiral and come down, and then for whatever reason, after Tyreek Hill catches the pass. So, Tua-non there, which is what you heard on the way back in, which, I don't know. Mason, I think you're onto something. I think the cadence may be similar to that of AJ Spur.
I'm dying on this hill now.
I almost feel the need to approach him about it next week. Like, but I also, it's to a non. It's anonymous. He won't tell us. You know, he would never divulge the information. And I have a feeling that AJ Spur has a strong enough poker face and poker voice that he would be able to hide such information from us. While grinning through the phone line. Nonetheless, Tua-non is a parody account that defends Tua at all costs possible. There is no defending this pass, though. There is no defending this pass. As I was referencing in the first segment, talking about deep ball accuracy for one Bryce Young, no, there is no way to defend this pass at all. It is a lame duck pass that doesn't have the torque on it. But I mean, if you can go back a couple of days on Tide109.com, and Mason kind of broke it down for you, a video that surfaced from Tua's quarterback coach that showed that he had improved on his torque. Now, torque and velocity don't apply to deep balls. They don't. It's a common misconception with quarterbacks and arm strength, and you can blame Madden for it all day long. The perception that arm strength determines how far you can throw a ball. Most people can throw a football the same distance as long as they have some sort of form, right? Now, there are the Josh Allens and Patrick Mahomes of the world that can launch that thing 75, 80 yards when they put some effort behind it. But, I mean, like, if you know how to throw a football, like, 65 yards is not a stupid amount of space, right? but it is the accuracy with which that ball lands and the arc on it, you know, the way that it falls in the basket of the receiver. That's kind of the that determines a good deep ball, right? And arm strength, the velocity behind it can determine how fast it gets out there so that you can hit a speedy receiver like Tyreek Hill, but it's not the be-all, end-all of arm strength velocity, right? That comes down more into how fast can you hit a dig route? How fast can you hit an in route? Can you drive a ball across from the opposite hash to the far sideline accurately on time and hit the ball placement where only your receiver can get it? These are things that Tua Tagovailoa can do. You know what I mean? Like, Tua's never going to launch a rocket into the stratosphere and hit Tyreek Hill 70 yards down the field in stride. It's just not what he does. He might be able to do that on 50 yards, 45 yards, but you're pushing the limits there, right? That said, how dare the Miami Dolphins social media account put this video out here? We were just at a phase, right? We were just at a phase where the Dan Orlovskis of the world had defended Tua enough to allow there to be hope for the third season of Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. There was hope. There was a chance that he had improved, that the offensive line had been fixed, that the wide receiving core had been improved upon enough. There was enough speed on this team. There were no excuses anymore for Tua Tagovailoa. Tua, no excuses. Tagovailoa was the storyline of 2022. And now here we are because of one video. Tua is trending online, and every account that thinks and or knows that they are smarter than everybody else is quote tweeting this video and saying, well, we all knew, right? Should have known, or what else is new, or this is Tua, or the Chiefs have screwed over Tyreek Hill. I like this one. I like Tua. Please remove this. Miami Dolphins, get this video off the internet. Why is it still playing in front of me as I speak? It must be removed. And even worse, like, you put the little rocket ship emoji, Tua, rocket ship, cheetah. And for whatever reason, PFF, I straight up just ripped that Band-Aid and put it right back on their own page because it says the Tua rocket ship Tyreek Hill connection, as if that's not what the Dolphins posted 15 hours ago. PFF's was 3 hours ago. Where we were so close, right? We were so close to looking at the AFC East and saying, yes, Josh Allen is head and shoulders above everybody else. We can understand and accept that. That is a top five quarterback in today's NFL, and we would be foolish to acknowledge otherwise. He might be even top three, because the last time we saw him, he played a perfect game of football and still lost. Okay? But below him are three other guys in a division full of guys. Well, no, Josh Allen's not on his rookie contract anymore. But the other three guys are all in their rookie contracts, right? They're all trying to, in the Patriots' case, avoid a rebuild, Miami complete a rebuild, and the Jets finally get this rebuild going. But all three have promising young quarterbacks, one of which has, with the New York Jets, a quarterback with insane velocity and horrible accuracy issues. And truthfully, probably the worst of the bunch in terms of being able to read a defense at all, right? But supremely talented quarterback, right? I praise Ty Simpson for having Zach Wilson traits, right? Zach Wilson was worthy of being a second overall quarterback. I'm sure he'll be fine eventually. If the Jets continue on the rebuild that they have had so far, it looks like something that's got some promise behind it. Then there's Mac Jones, who we all know has a limp noodle throwing arm, but is one of the most accurate quarterbacks on the planet, period. Right? Great anticipation, great leader, great teammate, understands his offense to a T, and fits the Bill Belichick mold perfectly. Right? We know what we got in Mac Jones.
with Tua, there has been so much ridiculous amount of unknowns since the moment a 320-pound defensive lineman landed on his hip to the point that Tua's leg went through his hip as if he were in a car accident. Since that moment, we have no idea what Tua Tagovailoa is because we didn't see him work out at all. He drops down the draft boards to Joe Burrow, goes to the Dolphins anyway, and Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, both flash in their rookie seasons. Tua has to put up with Ryan Fitzpatrick's nonsense, with Brian Flores' nonsense, the worst offensive line in all of the NFL, a horrendous and often injured wide receiving core, no running game, and get this, Tua has a winning record as a quarterback. Wins aren't a quarterback stat, but the Dolphins sure do play a lot better when he's in the game. You know who's got a better arm than Tua Tagovailoa, objectively? Jacoby Brissett. How many games did Jacoby Brissett win last year with the Dolphins? Zero. Tua got them back to a winning record. Despite the injuries, despite the offensive line, despite everything, despite the defense being infinitely worse than it was in 2020, Tua got them back to a winning record. What are we doing? There's plenty to know about Tua and plenty to have hope about with Tua heading into this next season. But no, we're going to take a 13-second clip. We're going to write off Tua and say Tua can't do it. Tua's the worst quarterback in the division. Nay, there are backup quarterbacks in this division that have never taken a snap. There are Bailey Zapps in this division that are better than Tua Tagovailoa. That's where some people want to go with this. I won't stand for it. I am not Tuanon, but I trust in the words of Tuanon. I agree with the words of Tuanon. This is appalling. This is an outrage. This is unnecessary. This is a conspiracy against Tua Tagovailoa. It's a conspiracy. Somebody is out to ruin the good name of Tua Tagovailoa. And I won't stand for it.
Like I said, it's a conspiracy.
I won't stand for it any longer. If I had the money, I'd head to NFLShop.com right now and buy me a Tua jersey.
This is like the most I've ever seen you just being like it's just wrong. You know, you obviously came with a lot of evidence to provide that Tua is good, but like this is the most I've ever seen you just trying to get a point across. Like, guys, it's just wrong.
It's evil. Like this, Tuanon said it right. The devil works hard, but Tua Tagovailoa, by God, he works harder. He has put in the work. Have you seen the muscle definition this kid has developed over the past 3 years? Calves of a god. The only left-handed quarterback in the NFL. Y'all are discriminating against the only left-handed Hawaiian quarterback in the NFL, and you should be ashamed. Should be ashamed. Halfway joking here. But I'm saying, Tua is not nearly as bad as folks. Not every quarterback. I made this defense of Mac Jones when he was coming out in the NFL draft, and everybody's like, well, dude, like, Justin Fields, man, he's got a cannon right arm. Justin Fields was my best quarterback in that draft class behind Trevor Lawrence, right? I was right there with everybody else. But you still make the case that Mac Jones could be a competent NFL quarterback, and he proved that last year. Like, I don't think he deserved to be in the Pro Bowl, but the Pro Bowl doesn't really have a standard anymore. But Mac Jones had a fantastic rookie season. Right? And Joe, I know he's down in there. Joe always brings up the Buffalo game where they played in the snow, where the Patriots won that game because they knew what their quarterback could and could not do in that weather. And the Bills arrogantly forced Josh Allen to throw the ball all over the yard. Patriots won the game, right? It is what it is. Like, you have to know what your quarterback can do and what he can't do, and you can't overvalue what strengths they have. And it kind of goes back to what I was talking about with Bryce Young. Like, yeah, the scrambling works in his favor a lot. It shows up on his highlight reel a lot. But it led to some of the interceptions that he threw. So there's room for improvement. There's plenty of room for improvement with Tua. Tua has not looked like the same guy we saw in 2018 for a long time. But I'm sorry, the dude's leg went through his hip, right? There's been some trauma with that. There's been all of this online stuff where he is constantly bashed for not being as good as Justin Herbert despite going ahead of him, for not being as good as Joe Burrow despite once being in that spot where he was going to be the Cincinnati Bengals' next quarterback. And sure, yeah, the Bengals don't go to the Super Bowl in January of 2022 with Tua Tagovailoa as their quarterback. No chance. Doesn't happen. But that doesn't mean that Tua is automatically a failure before his rookie season, before his rookie contract runs out. That's just not what it means. Different quarterbacks have different strengths. When Michael Vick entered the league, we didn't immediately kick out Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and say, this ain't your game anymore, guys. Get out of here. We didn't do that. So why are we trying to do that with other quarterbacks when they don't have the arm strength of Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen? Or the supreme athleticism of Lamar Jackson, right? We're in a space where we're like, those are the only guys that can do it. Those are the only guys that can do it. Russell Wilson's got a fantastic arm. It's not the strongest arm in the league, but he throws the best deep ball since Drew Brees. And Tua Tagovailoa can do the same things that Russell Wilson can do when he's healthy, when he has protection, when he's got the targets. And you say, Jacob, why does he have to have all that around him? I point you to the 2021 Jacksonville Jaguars, which wasted Trevor Lawrence, which is the best prospect we have had come into the NFL since Andrew Luck. I point you to the Andrew Luck-led Indianapolis Colts and the amount of garbage he had to go through to the point where he retired early. I point you to every quarterback on the face of this planet who, the second they are drafted in the first round, we say, all right, now put the team around him. The next year, get him a left tackle. He didn't have a left tackle last year. Get him a wide receiver. He didn't have great targets last year. Get him a tight end. Get him a running back. Get him everything. Get him a great head coach. Get him a better play caller. Yada, yada, yada. We draft quarterbacks for what they can do. But they can only do so much because they can't block for themselves, they can't catch for themselves, and they can't call the plays. Why is Tua held to a different standard? Just because he went to Alabama? Because that's all the stuff we say about Tua. Well, why does Tua need a wide receiver? Why does Tua need an offensive lineman? He is the fifth overall pick. It's because he's no different than any other quarterback. That's why. The one thing that Tua needs to do is stay healthy. That's it. And that's the one thing he can't seem to do. And that's the one thing that if you want to come after him for, fine. The Dolphins need to take this damn video off of social media, though.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, isn't it worse if they take it down?
I mean, 15 hours later, maybe. It should have been up there in the first place.
Should have never been posted, yes. But they can't take it down now.
Like it's like they went to practice and told an intern, like, hey, we need one video. Just one. And it needs to be Tua throwing a deep ball to Cheetah. And when you get that, come back to the office. We'll put it together. And that's the video he got. And instead of telling that intern to go back to practice and get another one, or going back to practice and telling that intern, hey, talk to the quarterback's coach and set up one play. And just say, hey, Tua, will you throw a couple of deep balls to Tyreek? We'll take the best one. We'll put it on social media. Instead of doing that, they said, oh, that's bad. Let's do some video effects to it so we can try to make it look better. And they made it worse. That's what they did. And that's horrendous. You are the social media team for an NFL franchise. You should do better. We hold you to a standard. And we don't respect the fact that you don't make the draft picks and the free agency decisions. Do better. Tua deserves better. Tua is going to be the guy that when his rookie contract does end and the Dolphins are like, finally, because apparently that's the way they want to be. And they release him and he goes somewhere else. And he's supposed to be the stop gap quarterback. And he just explodes. Top level quarterback. Like Matt Schaub, right? I probably shouldn't compare him to a top level of Matt Schaub. But you know, Matt Schaub, he's a Falcon. He goes to the Texans. He's like, he's the best quarterback Texans have ever had, right? Who knows? Maybe he does the same thing for like the Falcons or something. Or the Titans.
We got Malik Willis. He'll be all right.
Okay. I think that's what the Dolphins said when they drafted Tua.
And they'll be all right, too. They just don't know it yet.
There you go. Good answer.
Good answer. We'll take a break. We'll come back here on Off the Edge. Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Follow Off the Edge on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for live streams and instant analysis. Off the Edge with Jacob Harrison continues.
Well, I think that it's really hard to control third parties, so whether it's direct or indirect. But, you know, when you have a guy leave your program and go someplace else the day after the game, I don't have any evidence that anything happened, but I'm not making any accusations, but it makes you wonder, I guess. But, you know, hopefully we have enough honesty and integrity out there, you know, amongst us professionally in our sport that, you know, people are going to abide by the rules.
Last week, Scott Satterfield from Louisville suggested that Alabama might have tampered with Tyler Harrell coming out of the portal. That's what he said. Just to get our response to that, any hurt on that?
Well, we don't tamper with anybody, so I don't know of anything or anybody that tampered with him. You know, I don't really know that anybody's ever tampered with our players. I just think sometimes when things happen, it makes you wonder. So I'm not making any accusations, you know, against anybody that's done anything with our players, and I don't have any knowledge of anybody that's done anything with anybody else's players.
Back here on Off the Edge, Tide 100.9, your home for Alabama Crimson Tide sports. That sound courtesy of AL.com. Nick Saban at the Regions Tradition Pro-Am golf tournament this morning, talking about the accusations from Scott Satterfield on Tyler Harrell's transfer to Alabama, saying, we don't tamper with anybody, so I don't know anything about anything or anybody that tampered with him. And again, you kind of go back to that, the fact that, you know, 247 Sports published Scott Satterfield, also published this, the three sources that cited that the expectation is that Harrell would transfer to Alabama. You know, like, well, they've got to talk to the player. The player's got to make up his mind somehow. So apparently for him to want to go to Alabama, even think that he has the possibility of going from Louisville to Alabama, somebody at Alabama must have had to talk to Tyler Harrell, right? And it all kind of adds up and makes sense, right? But it's still, to me, first of all, what's Nick going to say? Oh, yeah, no, we totally tampered him. The hell's Scott going to do? Play us on the field, buddy.
Wish he had said that.
Right? But, like, Nick's not going to do that. Now, I'm not saying that Nick's lying. I would never imply such a thing. But what's he supposed to say, you know? It's like when you ask a quarterback a question about effort, you know, on the team or whatever, and he's like, oh, you know, well, I got to do my part. You know, we always praise the players for saying, oh, no, it's my fault. When it's like, you know, you're only saying that because you have to. Nick Saban has to say that. But in the case of the entire situation, you know, somebody can tamper and Nick not know about it. And there he presents an honest statement, right? There's a gazillion different ways to go at that, and everybody's going to take their own way. Like, I'm sure if there's sports radio in Louisville, they're saying, oh, well, Nick's just lying. Nick knows he tampered with Tyler. And beyond all doubt, I'll go back to what we said last week when we talked about the Scott Satterfield thing is, if you didn't want to lose Tyler Harrell, if you don't want anybody to tamper with him, throw him the ball more than 18 times. He scored on a third of his touches. He's something special. Alabama wanted him, right? Give him the damn ball. Otherwise, you know what kind of world we live in, Scott. You know what the transfer portal is. You know that it exists and that it is open year-round. Thank the NCAA for that. Cry to the NCAA about it. Don't tell the media, oh, Alabama tampered. Sorry, dude. I don't know if you know this or not, but over the past couple of years, Alabama's had Landon Dickerson and Jameson Williams as two of its most popular players on campus, and neither one of them signed with Alabama as recruits.
they're going to get theirs in the transfer portal, guy. I thought Josh Pate said something really, really wise, I guess, or it was a good saying or whatever. Something to the effect of, you know, the rest of college football, they might look at the transfer portal and they say, oh, Alabama's twos and threes aren't safe. Well, Nick Saban looks at the rest of college football and says, your ones aren't safe. They're going to come play for me. And if you have twos or threes that should be your number ones and you can't tell, they're going to come be a number one for me. Jameson Williams, Tyler Harrell. And why? It's probably the same reason Tyler Steen came here to play. Because if Tyler Steen plays three fantastic years at Vanderbilt, he might be a third-round pick. If he plays one fantastic year at Alabama, he's probably a first-round pick. And that's a value that you can't create on your own immediately. So, Scott, step up to the plate, go through the transfer portal, and figure it out. Let the NCAA deal with tampering. And when they can't do anything about it, say, well, I guess the whole thing's broken. And if it's broken, I should find a way to take advantage of it the same way Nick did. And move on with your life. Don't cry about Alabama. The Jay Barker Show is coming up next. Y'all take it easy. Have a fantastic Wednesday. Big thanks to Mason, Timothy, and Joe. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. here on Tide 100.9. Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Very warm this afternoon, partly to mostly sunny, the high 89. Some clouds around tonight, the chance of a few isolated showers, our low at 64. Tomorrow, the chance of isolated showers early in the day, otherwise partially sunny with a high at 86. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Thank you for listening to